Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today on the show, we have Erica back in the studio. Do you remember Erica from episode 2? She shared with us how she was walking through separation and healing and finding her own identity in this new phase of life. Well, today, she's sitting with me in studio with her husband, Carlos, and we're going to have a group chat about separation and their coming back together and moving through hurt in a way that speaks to so many different avenues of love. This is Erica and Carlos. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Erica's back in the studio.
Yes.
Happy. Y'all remember Erica from episode 2. Gosh, what was the title of your episode?
I think it was
Separation.
Healing from a Separation, yeah.
Well, I'm excited to have you back. And we also have her husband in the studio. Drum roll, please. The first man on Hey Girl, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
you gotta say, Hey Girl.
Okay. Hey Girl. Hey.
So this is fun for me because I rarely have in-studio guests. So I'm really happy to have y'all.
Oh.
So I want to kind of dive into the year y'all have had. It's been a very interesting healing coming together after being separated. So I'm going to kind of give the ropes to y'all and just get your individual stories about the encounter, because I really loved how y'all were on Instagram and kind of had that live thing, and you sat down together and you talked about everything that was transpiring, that had transpired, and how we're back here. So I'm going to let y'all take it from here. Introduce yourselves. Who are you? What do you do? And voila.
I am Erica. I run a photography company, Erica Lane Photography, and I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And we have 2 children together. Just a little bit about us, and then that will transition into you, Carlos.
Yeah, so I'm Carlos. I'm a kind of a jack of all trades. I do a lot of different things. I work as a nonprofit professional by day, and at night I'm trying to run around finding something, some creative outlet, mm-hmm. whether it's photography or music or anything.
How did we get here? The healing process that y'all have went through. First of all, spoiler alert, if you haven't gone back and listened to the very second episode of Hey Girl, I would suggest that you do that so you can get kind of a backstory on why we're here in the first place. But Erica, I want to talk to you about that transition from a year ago, because it's been a year now, wow. to now, and then like just how you guys are coming together as a couple. Maybe we start with how y'all met.
Ooh.
It's funny because today is September 11th, right?
Uh-huh.
Eric and I actually met, I would say like maybe 4 days before.
Really?
Online. This is like back pioneering online dating for all of y'all out there.
Black Planet.
Did I know that? I might have.
I think so. Wow. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, way back. But, you know, it's not even a dating site, but we somehow connected. And I remember being so like just feeling so terrified. I just met her and she's like going into 9/11 to take pictures.
And it's 9/11,
you know, and it's like
today.
The third day. Yeah, and it's 9/11 the day. So it's been 17 years since like we first met.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does that feel looking back on it? Because I feel like certain markers are the celebratory moments of our love for, you know, friends and family, mm-hmm. and just these different memories that we have. How was that looking back?
Through the struggle of the last 3 or so years, I think that these last 3 years really zoomed by. So I find myself making a mistake and catching myself like, oh, we've been together 14 years. No, we've really been together 17 now. And that's a part of the healing process for me has been to acknowledge and celebrate how long we have known each other and then how long we've been married. And to recognize the parts where we did have a successful relationship. And even though we had to press the reset button, celebrating our 10-year anniversary, which was this past August, was like a milestone. And a lot of healing, I think, was done on that. We took a vacation, which, yeah.
Let's talk about the vacation. So I remember you being very excited about that. And I think it's really beautiful that y'all were able to hit the reset button. And like when you came back, you were saying like that vacation is kind of what y'all needed to reconnect, you know, without the kids. I feel like we get so lost in translation of the day-to-day things, work, wife life, being a husband, being a dad, being a mother. It's just all these different things that we kind of forget to connect. So how was that for y'all after having a pretty rough go the past couple of years maybe, or just a bunch of different transitionings happening? How was it to be alone and like being able to reconnect?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was that wherever she is home. That's like the thing, you know, when we arrived there, we're in the strange place. I don't know. I feel like I'm probably going to get flack for this, but I feel like Mexico is kind of a shady place. It's dangerous. And it's like on like the top five most dangerous places to visit. And we found that out coming back, but just like being able to go into that type of environment just be like, this is home base. Like wherever you are, I'm making home base out of it. You know what I mean? And just like having that, and just not doing anything, you know, just cooking for each other and like teaming up on like meals and stuff. It's just you understand like why you collaborated on life together. You know what I mean? It's beyond that I like you or I like the way you look or you know, it's I collaborate with you on every like on different things.
Yeah, I mean on everything really.
Right, on everything, right.
And I want to talk, so I feel like we're kind of circling around like the point. I'm glad that we're talking about the healing for sure.
Yeah.
But this is the hard part, right? The hard part is talking about what hurts us.
Oh yeah.
So let's kind of circle back and talk about the breaking apart, because I feel like that is what a lot of people don't talk about, like that hard shit and that stuff that really hurts to revisit and talk about. But a lot of people also aren't talking about, you know, coming back together and like being whole and hitting that reset button and being able to heal together as a collaborative unit. So y'all opening up on Instagram and doing that Instagram live and being really vulnerable and talking about like, this is not perfect. This hurts. We've been together a long time, but we are trying to do what we can and stand in love through the things that break us. So why don't we start with the separation and then the coming back together?
So when you said healing together, it triggered something within me, because I remember wanting to heal. Like I remember being in a dark hurt place, and I remember wanting to heal, either whether it was on my own or with Carlos. And it seemed like through our separation, we could never get on the same page at the same time. So there was like a flip-flopping that happened that was very frustrating. You know, I would be angry, and then he would kind of reach out to me, but I didn't want to reach out at that time. Or, you know, I would reach out and then he would not receive that reaching out. And I think that was definitely the place we were in at that time, as we were disconnected. And it was never like a smooth ride.
Right.
Never smooth. So, yeah, and at certain times I felt weak, and at certain times I felt strong. I remember like reaching out to different friends at different times based upon how I felt, because I was striving to feel balance in some way. So I would journal a lot, and that would help me figure out what I wanted for myself. But then, like, if I was feeling too angry at the situation or at Carlos, then I would reach out to a friend that believed in marriage. And it was really helpful when friends would not like try to fix things for me, including you. I remember like just an open ear to just hear what was going on without judgment was so helpful. But the whole situation did make me weary also of reaching out to friends, because at the end of the day, it was me in my relationship, and my journal was there for me to help me work out what I was feeling.
Right. How about you? When you were apart from not only your wife, but your kids too, that's a whole different dynamic when you go from a two-parent household, even if it's a temporary separation, to like visits. And how was that for you?
It was really hard. It was really difficult for me, because I'm just used to, you know, you get used to being able to have access to your kids at all times. You know what I mean? So we did like split 50-50. It was like some weird rotating schedule that we did. And it worked. I mean, it worked, because obviously I have a lot of respect for Erica. Although some of my actions during the relationship might not have expressed that, you know what I mean? But, the kids thing hurt. And then I don't want to say it almost got ugly, but like Erica, you know, at one point was just feeling like, I want to pull the kids back so that they're just with me. Right. And I was just like, I was devastated, you know? And I didn't know where it was coming from, and I knew she was hurt and I was hurt. And it was like, if you don't address it, you know what I mean? It's like holding a cup of glass in your hand, right? If you're holding a glass for 5 minutes and you put it down, it's nothing. But if you hold that glass for 5 hours, that weight is going to take its toll. So it's something small, you know, it's like little things that like little drops of water keep getting in, filling the glass up. You don't put the glass down. It's just going to overpower you at some point. You know what I mean? And then you got to pick up the pieces, because you done dropped the glass. The glass broke. Now you got to pick up the pieces. And sometimes, you know, like for me, when I felt like the relationship was kind of shattered, you know, it was just like, I felt like I had to find me first. Like, I was like, I can't help you. I can't give you what you need. And maybe it was just me doubting myself. You know what I'm saying? That self-doubt of, you're not strong enough. You're not, you know, you just need to carve out your own way and find your own way. And, so like it was all difficult, like not having the kids 50% of the time. And it was also, in a way, it was also re-energizing, you know, because you have that time. All of a sudden you had all that time. All that time is back now, that you
haven't had for years.
Yeah, exactly. That you haven't had for years. You've just been investing. Right. And all of a sudden it's like, I was almost like, what do I do with myself? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do I do with my time now that I'm like not going to pick up the kids or doing this or that? It's just... So I definitely threw myself into my work. You know what I mean? Like, that was my outlet, was work.
How did it feel being away from your wife and not knowing if you were going to have your family?
It was tough, because that's been like the thing, like the common theme in my mind was like, I'm going to be a dad when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to be a great dad. I'm going to be a dad. Like, that's just like, that's, I'm going to be a better dad than my dad, like kind of thing. Even though my dad is great. He's an awesome guy.
We're supposed to be better than our parents, though. We have that, Erica, we have that conversation all the time. Like, yeah, so I feel that.
So it's just something I had. And then, you know, not having that and being totally separate and being an individual. It was scary. Like, and like I said, you just, sometimes you don't know where to start. Like, what do I want to do? What is it that I really want to do? And you got to dig deep. But I answer some of those questions, you know what I mean? And I feel like I started to put things in motion for myself that I haven't lost sight of, you know what I'm saying? Since we've come back together and reconciled and everything, it's like I haven't lost sight of those things, and those things are still important to me. It's just expressing it to Erica, you know what I mean? And letting her know. And I think the number one thing, before I forget it and we move on to something else is you know, you always have to share with your partner. Mm. Like, regardless, if you're not comfortable sharing something, then that person might not be your partner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should have no fear of judgment in that space. It's a safe, it should be a safe space. And I think that's what we lost was that safe space. We were not, it was anything that got laid out was fair game for somebody to try to push someone else's buttons. Like, we would just, you know what I mean? Like, if we brought something to each other and I did the same thing, you know, I would pick it apart and be like, well, you didn't do that. Just hypercritical of the situation, when really I should have been hypercritical by myself.
We don't do that all the time. It's hard. I mean, but that's a part of the human experience too. And I want to, Erica, ask you, like, how was that feeling like things were just shattered and like falling apart? Did you, aside from it hurting, what else was coming up for you after being with someone for so long, having children? You share lives. Y'all are family. Ryan puts it the best way. You're not just my wife. Like, we're family.
Right.
Yeah.
And how was that feeling like you lost a part of your family at one point?
There was a lot of different thoughts surrounding it, like a roller coaster, because at first, I didn't want to let go of what we had at all. There was a certain picture that I had in my mind of what a marriage was supposed to be, especially since nobody in my family had made it work. My parents got a divorce when I was, well, they separated when I was three, so I never really knew them together. My grandparents got divorced. So I thought that I would fail if we got a divorce. And it was definitely, at first we separated for about a month, and we saw it, I think we both saw it as a temporary thing. And then we did try to come back together, and I don't believe it was the right time, or maybe for the right reasons. And
I think we just missed each other's company more than we were prepared. And we were doing it because it was something that was to benefit the healing, you know what I mean? It was just like, I miss you, so I want to be around you. I'm going to come back home.
We had to get past that just missing each other part, because that's just, it's superficial. It can fade in a day.
Right.
And I just want to say, I always knew Erica was family, you know what I mean? And that's like, that's actually what kind of brought me back, because I was like, I'm going to be a part of your life for the rest of our lives.
But the kids connected us in a very strong way, and therefore it became my goal to simply just be your friend.
Right.
Which was something that we had lost.
Right. And that was the baseline that brought us back together. 'Cause it was like, we family. Yeah. I got to be your I want to be your friend. And maybe I didn't, you know, talk about hitting that reset button. I was like, maybe I did not go about things in the right order.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, let's back up here, and I just want you to know I want to be your friend, you know, and making that, like, just, and I remember I was like boohoo crying. She was like, she was out of dinner. I'm not afraid to say it, man. Don't be afraid to say it. You cried. Don't lie. You saw The Lion King. You cried. but yeah, just like crying on the phone to her and just having that vulnerability, you know what I mean? And like, she was just caught off guard. She's like, oh, that's great, you know, kind of thing. She just kind of brushed me off, you know. I was like, that's okay. That's okay. You know what I mean? Still keep crying.
I think I had finally gotten to the point where I was like, I don't need to be married to Carlos for this thing to work. So I was proud of myself for reaching that point. And yeah, all about the timing. Like, you poured your heart out, and I wasn't really
moved.
No.
And I think that's a big thing that happens in relationships, because sometimes we're not always in sync. And I think that when it comes to me, I mean, me and Ryan are newlyweds still. We've only been married 2.5 years. We've been together for almost 6 years, though. And it's just like we're not always in sync. And I think people look at relationships and love and marriage as this thing where you're interconnected and you're always on the same linear line.
Right.
That's just not how it is.
But that's what they see.
That's
on
what
social media.
But not even on social. I feel like we're almost conditioned to think that marriage is either going to be this fantasy or it's going to be a shit show. Like there's really
no in between.
In between.
No realistic in between option.
Right.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. Yeah. So I just, you know, I'm glad that you said that. Like sometimes it's high for you and low for you, and sometimes it's the other way around.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today. So the friend thing. I want to talk about the friend thing. Because losing friendship, I feel like is...
Oh my gosh.
It's like heartbreaking. And when I talk about my relationship with Ryan or when I'm writing about it, what comes up for me the most, even through our moments of hurt and like things that I feel like, can we come back from that or whatever? Like I love my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always kind of been the basis. So how is it becoming friends again?
It was so hard. It was so hard because you have all that history.
Right.
You know, so immediately, like, you want to jump back into your old ways. Like, you know, I want to hold your hand, or I want to, you know, tell you that you're gorgeous and all this, like, stuff that, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, that's just your ego wanting to feel satisfied, you know? So it was terrifying, like, not knowing where she stood. And knowing where I stood, and I'm like, I know where I stand right now. And she had the cards close to the chest. Like,
oh, very close.
Yeah,
you want to talk about that, Erica?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I remember, you know, us relearning how to like respect each other's space. Mm. Everything, I had to reassess everything. I actually, in my mind, I took one of my good friends, I had them in my mind, and I said, okay, if this good friend doesn't call me back within a certain time. Why don't I get upset? Or why don't I take that personally? Mm. But like with your partner, you start just treating that relationship sometimes in a very expectations type of way. And so I'm like, okay, well, it makes common sense in my mind. Okay, well, what if I acted with Carlos like I do this friend? And I had to pull myself back because the friendship, I had to see him as like just any other guy that I would be dating, like starting fresh like that.
Mm. But yeah, I wasn't even allowed in the house.
No, like, and and not even just any guy, because just any guy on the street wouldn't have hurt me.
Right.
The way.
Right.
Or, you know, the relationship that we had wouldn't right. have hurt me right. that in that way. Mm. So it was almost like he was starting from negative zero.
Right, right, right,
right. Right.
Like, I just got out of jail, like, showed up at the front door.
So yes, it took me, you know, opening my heart little tiny increments, or letting him do something nice for me, or letting him step one foot into the house.
I was just about to say,
yeah.
letting him come through the door.
The foyer.
Right, come through the front door, yeah.
Step over the threshold.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you, I was so hyped that first time I walked up in the house, and she was like, I was invited, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, it was like, you're invited, you're welcome, come in, you know, that was like, I was very excited, you know, just to even have my friend back. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't at that point, like, we weren't even romantic again. It was just, we were, when we say friends, it was like friends. Like, so.
Yeah. And I remember not wanting to open my heart around the kids first. Mm. Like, I was scared that this still wasn't going to work out. So we did some meeting up, just not having the kids at all. Sometimes having the kids created like a safe space, because that's what we knew. And so we would go to we went to Artscape in Baltimore and we went to the light show at night. Mm-hmm. That was really healing in its own way. And then, but I didn't want to be romantic, any public displays of affection or anything in front of the kids until I felt comfortable, because I didn't want them seeing their father coming in and out of the house so easily.
Mm. And up until that point, we had always presented a unified front.
Right.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're not together, but we are, like, for this.
Yeah.
You guys are so important to us. Like, we're putting our differences aside, and because we love you guys, we're going to work as a team.
Right.
And we're going to continue to, aside our differences, and just continue to work on the family. So they knew that going in, and I think it was, you know, it's just not to send them mixed messages.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I know they were on a roller coaster.
So I want to talk about that. I want to segue into the kids and like how this impacted them and how the coming back together has impacted them too. Because it's almost like, from what I hear you saying, like, y'all really started dating again. Like, y'all went out with the kids and without the kids. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, and then you come home to the house that you've built with him without him. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, how was that for the kids? I mean, I know that y'all, it wasn't messy. I know that y'all were like really intentional about how you were moving through the separation with the kids by your side, but that doesn't mean that they didn't feel
right
with it.
Right.
So how was it? You have a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
How was that?
I think we're spoiled. Our kids are so full of light, and just, they're just such good kids. Mm. You know, I would try to have them open. I mean, I remember one time we went out to dinner, and this was like, it was all still very new, you know, the separation and everything. And we were just kind of going to dinner to present that unified front. And Erica made a comment to Camden, like, you guys know that, you know, we still, I don't know, something about like, we still love you or something like that. And Camden just fired right back without even thinking. He said something like, you know, you're still, even though you guys aren't together, you're still my mom and you're still my dad, and I'm going to love you guys regardless. Mm-hmm. And this was like 2 years ago. So he was 11. Mm-hmm. He's 13 now. Mm-hmm. And this was when he was 11. I was just like, man, this kid is so mature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he just understands. And I mean, maybe that's in part because of how we raise them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are who they are before they get here, kind of thing.
Right.
And I mean, we're blessed. We're blessed that we have those kids. And I think that maybe, I don't know, maybe you can talk about it a little bit, because I didn't really.
Well, I can talk about the more difficult side of that, because I remember Camden had a birthday party at Dave and Buster's, and we weren't living together for a while at that point, for maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, a month or so. And I didn't know what was really going on with your life. You didn't really know what was going on with my life. And it was just difficult to even though we worked well on like paying the bill together,
right.
or
the basic stuff,
the operational things, mm-hmm. it was just, and part of me did feel proud that we were able to have some of his friends over and do that for him.
And be cordial in front of everybody.
But we were really like,
we weren't feeling each other.
Right. We weren't.
You could.
We
you weren't. Would, yeah. If you knew us and you were in that room, you'd be like, "Man, this is tense. Yeah. This is like Jay-Z and Memphis Bleak. Like back in the day. Like they look like buddies, but they, I don't know."
Right.
Because we were still very in our own feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. How was it? So you were with the kids. I mean, y'all split time, but the kids were still at home with you in the house that y'all had built together.
Yeah.
So
50% of the time. And then the other 50%, Carlos had moved in with his parents. So they were in another familiar surrounding.
Right. Right. So how was that, though, like them going to visit dad with grandparents at a house that they weren't raised in? And then they come home without dad in the house they were raised in. Like, I know that we've had our little side conversations mm-hmm. about it, but like, how was that for you and also for them? Like, just the transition. It's just a big transition. And I know the kids were young, but I feel like our kids don't always tell us.
Yeah.
It may come out in different ways.
Yeah. Erica told me a story about Jada asking.
Remind me.
Yeah. Well, remember she was saying something like, "Where, you know, why does daddy have to stay at house?" Mimi is grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does daddy have to stay at Mimi's house? Something like that, something along those lines. And that hurt.
She would,
you know?
She was six.
Six.
She was six. So she would ask me more blunt questions about what was going on and why than Camden would.
Right.
So
one of the things I think we both did is because we had that time separate from the kids, when we did have the kids, we poured a lot of energy and time into them. Mm. You know what I mean? So for me, it was like taking them to the museums and like trying to expose them to different things.
I almost thought he was a good father to begin with, but I almost thought you were a better father not being in the relationship.
Well, when it's because you're subtracting mm-hmm. stuff off your plate. You no mm-hmm. longer have to be a husband and a friend and a lover and all these things. Now you're just a guy with, you know, that has kids.
Mm.
And now it's like, all right, well, what are we going to do, guys? You know what I mean? It's totally different. It's totally different. And to be successful, I think you have to maintain that sense of identity within the relationship so you can continue to be that person and not lose yourself. Because that's what happened. We lost ourselves in each other. We were
Definitely.
So wrapped up in the relationship and we had become so ingrained that it's just like you lost your identity and you wake up and you kind of, you're like, who am I?
And I think our parenting suffered.
Oh, yeah.
From our.
Because we were sapping each other's energy.
Yeah.
We were like energy vampires for each other.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like constantly draining each other, draining. And then it's just like we didn't have the energy to like follow through on mm-hmm. the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Carlos in the Instagram story.
Yes.
That so you're Cuban
yes.
and
Venezuelan.
And Venezuelan.
Yes.
And you mentioned that with your mom, she just kind of put up with dad sometimes. Certain
oh,
things.
Yeah.
Like she was just like
crazy stuff. Like the stuff I saw as a kid, I'm so glad that my children have not had to witness any of that.
So I wanted to ask how upbringing and things that you saw your parents go through, or maybe what you saw like a wife display, or how you saw your dad as a husband display, how that taught you how to love, and how you've had to kind of unlearn certain behaviors and relearn them so that you can put them in play in your own relationship. And I want to ask Erica mm-hmm. the same thing, because she comes from a divorced household, and it's like, how do we learn to love in a way that suits not only ourselves, but the people that we choose to be romantically involved with forever.
Right. through my mother, I learned unconditional love. Mm. Like, I was at my mother's hip all the time. She took me to work. We didn't have money for daycare, none of that. So I was in a nail salon like 24/7. So for me, just like watching her and like watching her deal with, you know, deal with my dad and being like, that's your dad. You only get one. Mm. You know, that's
even
my
still.
Husband. Yeah. Even after. I mean, then this was when I was a kid, because I was like, Mom, you know, I was like about Camden's age. And I was just like, look, we need to be out. Mm. You know, and I told her, I said, we need to go. This is ridiculous. Like, this behavior, like, you are, because I valued her so highly. Mm. So to have this man, you know, treat her like less than, it was just like, I was like, what is going on? And just her always, you know, saying, that's your dad. You only have one. He's my husband. I only have one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was just like, I was just like, what? That's so crazy to me. Mm. You know, because, go ahead.
And so that's kind of why I couldn't understand, since you had this example of sticking it through and making it work, why you were choosing to not make it work at that time.
Right.
I mean, I see clearer now, but.
Right. For me, it was just like all my belief systems were shattered. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When Eric and I kind of like hit that wall, I looked within, and all my belief systems just like broke down. And I was just like, I need to form a new belief system of my own. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, I was just like these false kind of like all idols. Mm. I think that was what they call it. False idols. Mm. Like, I was idolizing all these kind of like, and I think is what happens, you know, like you were talking about earlier, you have this like either this fantasy of marriage, or you're skeptic, you're a cynic, mm-hmm. and you're just gonna not put stock into it.
Right.
You know, and there's no in between. And you know, for me, it was just like, just having that belief system and losing it.
What was your belief system?
It was just like, it was like that I had to be a man. Mm. You know what I mean? That I had to be a man in all situations, and that I needed to, you know, I needed to put the like the weight of everything on my back, and that I couldn't be vulnerable, and that, you know, I read a lot of things that Erica was doing or saying as trying to emasculate me. You know what I mean? Mm. It was just like those type of things. You know what I'm saying? So it was like finding my own definition of manhood. That was the belief. You know what I mean? Like, what defines a man? What makes a man? That break, like shattering that and having to relearn that. It was, I mean, it was so messy. Like you said, it was like when you were like, it's not messy. It was so messy on the back end. Like on the front end, yeah, it was very clean. It was very concise. But on the back end, just internally,
right,
it was a mess.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was a mess. And having to like work, having this, it's like that, the like when you're on an airplane, they say you got to put the mask on first before you can put it on somebody else.
Even your kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even your kids. And even your partner.
Even your partner.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt. And obviously the way that I did it, I don't think that I did it in like the best, you know, the best course of actions, but I did that for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I knew that I had become too ingrained. I knew I had lost my identity. I knew that what I was idolizing as a man was not a sustainable model. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it all hit me at once.
Did you ever think that you were seeing bits of your father in yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that I learned from my dad some great things, some good values. Mm-hmm. But in the process of doing so, I absorbed a lot of negative values as well. So you had some meritable stuff there.
Right.
That has stayed with me.
Right.
And the other things, which I like to call my demons, mm-hmm. right? That they're just things that you learn that kind of lead you to self-destruction. Mm. Right. So I've learned how to quiet those demons down. And it's like things like materialism, things like, you know, having to have things a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be my way. That was my dad's mm-hmm. big thing. Like, this, like, if you're going to clean this, like, it would be so frustrating for me, because I would spend the whole, like, day cleaning the house, right? He'd be like, clean the house. I come in and clean the house. This man would literally come behind me and clean the house after I just cleaned the house. Mm. You know what I mean? And I was just like, but I learned that. Mm-hmm. I learned that it had to be my way, because if not, if somebody else did it, I'm just going to have to do it over again. So it was like that kind of, and I held Erica to the standard, you know what I mean? And then like I allowed things, outside things that don't matter, like a box. You know what I mean? You have a box in the house. That box should hold no weight in your relationship, regardless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's clutter, if you don't like clutter or something, like, that was my thing. It was like, it gave me anxiety.
And I learned from my mom, well, I think she's a little better at it than I am, but you can clean a level of your home by putting the things that go upstairs on the steps to go upstairs, and then putting the things that go downstairs on the steps to go downstairs.
It drove me
nuts. Of course, it requires follow through to actually bring those things upstairs. And so 50% of the time that would happen, 50% it wouldn't.
Right.
You might agree on a different percentage.
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
So I do want to ask who taught you how to love in a way that you needed to unlearn?
I think ultimately, even though at first I didn't feel like I had an example, my dad has been in a long relationship with his second wife. And even though my mom didn't find a life partner after that, I still saw her dating different people and going through different situations. So I actually got closer, I think, to my mom because I was able to concentrate on mending the relationship that an older adult woman has with her mom and getting to relearn your mother as an adult, because I wasn't so worried about being a wife anymore, like making room for those other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, I learned a little bit more about how her separation made her feel, and that she actually was admiring me for the way I was handling some of the situations with Carlos. And I would tell her about the difficult things and my thought process healing.
Right.
I was really surprised that she thought that I was being strong and in a lot of those moments, because, you know, she wasn't, my mom and my dad were not able to make their marriage work.
Mm-hmm.
I also have some different thoughts now about making a marriage work in general. So I do believe that love is a choice that you make every day. I do see where, like Carlos was saying, he gets some of his, you know, good traits and troublesome traits from his dad. I saw that happening with my mom as well. So I think we all have our difficult, you know, just personality traits to deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think there's something special when it's two women, a mother and daughter relationship. And we do have to relearn in adulthood what that relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just touched that she was there for me the whole time. She was supportive of whatever I decided to do.
Right. I think what's really awesome about your statement that love is a choice every day, you know, I believe that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like redefining love for ourselves and not looking at our parents and their relationship, no matter how good or how bad, as our shining example, like really making our own choices.
Detaching.
And deciding that this is what love is going to look like for me. And this is how I want my love to serve not only myself, but my partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about the coming back together. And I also kind of want to, if you guys are comfortable with this, talk a little bit about the infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did for the coming together, because it's so hard to move past that type of hurt. But after we get through and we unpack why this happened, what I was going through, was going through in that moment, how does that work for you guys as a unit and then also individually?
I can start with the fact that Carlos found someone else really opened my eyes in my healing process to the fact that love is a choice.
Mm.
And I also don't believe that there's one specific person out there for you. I believe that when communicating with different people, there are many different people that you could make a relationship work. I know it doesn't feel like that for being single, but I just saw the possibilities in moving forward.
I mean, I don't know all the reasons why, but I will say that it's, you know, it allowed me to shed kind of this toxic masculinity. I think a lot of men cheat because of toxic masculinity, because it's, you know, locker room talk or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You got your fellas and they're just like, they're just dogs, you know, and they're just like, they're just constantly telling you about, oh, you know, this, I'm dating this girl and that girl and this, and then it's like.
Did you even have a lot of married friends?
Not really. I mean, my friends are, most of my friends are either divorced or single or, you know, not interested.
Right.
You know, so it's just like not having that kind of like that mentor person that you look up to that's in a successful relationship that has that. And something that I learned over the course of like kind of shedding that toxic masculinity is like, you can't be a project in a room full of projects. You know what I mean? You can't be working on yourself and working on your friends at the same time. Like, that's just impossible. So you need to put yourself in a room where more people are in a position to lend that hand to pull you up, you know, and help you understand what it is to be a man and things like that. And I'm blessed now that I have some of those individuals in my life. I didn't have them before. I didn't have those role models. And I kind of learned that, you know, something else I learned from my dad, kind of an artifact, is like, you know, as a man, you need to be desirable. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be desirable. Like, you have to have cologne on, you have to smell good, you have to look good. And if a girl shows interest in you, you need to show them interest back, like flirting. Like, my dad is like the biggest flirt in the world. You know what I mean? And that, I learned that from him. And the problem is I go into situations very optimistic. Like, I know my boundaries. I got my boundaries up. I'm good. Like, this will be just be a friendship or whatever. And then I'm just like, I don't know. I just feel like I allow myself to be too vulnerable in front of people. And then, like, it's a mixture of me playing naive, even though I know better, and them knowing he's a nice guy. You know what I mean? Like, I want to take advantage. It's a two-way street, because it's never just, oh, I'm a guy, I just want to cheat, I'm gonna go out and cheat, right? It's a recipe. And
how did the recipe intertwine what was happening on the home front? Because I feel like that sometimes infidelity comes into play because home is broken. And Ryan and I are reading this book. We pick it up and put it down all the time, about the Gottmans. And they talk about the scientific research behind love and fidelity and cheating, and how the cheating is very rarely hurtful because of the sex involved or because of the intimacy involved. But the distrust and the brokenness that happened prior to. So I just wanted to see from you guys, how that makes sense or plays a role in what happened in your relationship. Was the infidelity because home was, I mean, and not to make excuses for it, but like, just to unpack that a little bit, like, where did that come from? Like, the need to step out of the marriage.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was as simple as knowing that I was done. You know what I'm saying? And Erica was not. And even though we kind of, you know, even though we agreed in therapy, right? In our therapy session, I said, I can't do this anymore, right? But I was like so in my hurt that I didn't allow myself to see Erica's point of view, that she wasn't ready to let go. You know what I mean? And I could have held on, like, I didn't have to go. You know what I'm saying? And like, just to for full disclosure, and Erica might not even know this, I went on like 2 dates on Tinder, right? And I was just like, this is terrible. I never want to do this. I like, finding somebody else is just not for me, right? And then somebody walked into my life, and I wrote down the qualities. You know what I mean? You start to think and you're like, okay, well, if I did have a partner, what would their qualities be? And I wrote that down. I decided to write that down for me so that I had something to go back to. So it wasn't, you know, it was important to me at that time. So I was like, I'm going to write this down and have a physical reminder. And then a few days later, that model of the person walks into my life and I took it as a sign. You know what I mean? Like, okay, well, maybe this person like is what I needed. You know what
so
I mean?
So you had checked out of the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And Erica was still very heavily invested in the relationship.
Hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, I did not give it enough time. Like, and that's when I say, you know, I didn't go through the proper steps, as I didn't. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I didn't respect Erica in the regard that I knew deep down that she needed more time. But I was so out of it, out of the relationship and trying to move away from that hurt. And it was so behind me. I was trying to put it so far behind me that I was like, I'm not going to let my past dictate my future.
And I think you were in a healing space, too, of doing Carlos.
Right.
Because
it was like, I need to do what's important for me. At that point, I was independent. I was no longer a part of a unit. Mm. That's how I viewed myself. Mm. Even mm-hmm. though the outside world, you know, and including Erica and even probably our children still saw us as a single unit, you know, but I was just, you know, I was like, I can't. And that's pretty much how it happened is I wrote this stuff down. I met somebody and then I was just like, after I told myself, I'm not going to date, like, I'm just going to see this through and we're going to get to the point where we sign the papers and then I can, you know, I will feel like I've gone through the roller coaster. I will heal. And at that point, it will be a joint decision and then we'll just move on. And then this happened. And then I was just like, well, that's kind of out the window now. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to make an attempt because mm-hmm. I was also like in at that point in time in my life, it was everything was in the moment.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I had just become so wrapped up in the moment. Like mm-hmm. That time, like what, I felt like I was like a leaf on the wind kind of thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I was just like following this current mm-hmm. that life was taking me.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, in the moment is all I could do to get from day to day. Mm-hmm. So I was in the moment also, but in a totally different
way. Yeah. Yeah. Those dates were horrible.
Oh yeah. Something did.
Oh my gosh. Those dates were terrible. Like I was ready to just be like, you know what, this is just this whole new dating scene that's going on
for the birds
is not for me. that's what I remember.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue and it's shaped like the flower and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo Tie-Dye Bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 Summer Box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
I remember you, like, we were navigating this separation space and we were trying to even create what that looked like on our own. I remember going on Instagram and admiring couples who were separated but still remained friends. So I remember we discussed multiple living situations too. So as you know, some people live together in the same house to not disrupt the kids' schedule.
Right.
And inside of me, I was like, no, this is never going to work. This is never going to work because of the space that I was in of still wanting this to work.
Right.
So I remember you wanting to do that at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that you met somebody else and then it was all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
So you didn't tell her that you found someone else?
Initially, that's the thing. Again, I didn't.
You didn't feel like you had to.
I didn't feel like I had to at first. At first.
Right, right.
But, you know, trying to, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, I didn't wait very long to try to tell her. It might have been maybe like over the course of a week when I actually felt like me and this person kind of bonded. You know what I mean? That there was some common ground that we could build upon, even though it was very small. I felt like I needed to let her know, even though in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have, or I didn't need to. Maybe it was my ego, I'm not sure, but I just felt like I needed to tell her, like, hey, I want you to know this is what's going on. I met somebody, I like them, you know, I that's all. That's all I have. You know?
So would you consider, Erica, I know you and I have had this conversation too, but do you look at it as cheating or infidelity, or do you look at it as kind of like this gray area? Because I hear you both saying you were separated, and then I hear you saying that it also feels very close to home, like infidelity on your end. So I want to give the mic to Erica just to see, like, how does that feel and look for you and why?
Well, I think also I'm remembering a different way that I found out.
Okay.
Because it may have been a different experience if I had found out from Carlos first without finding out a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that caused a bigger fissure in our relationship. And well, the relationship that I didn't realize also at the time that Carlos was fully checked out, because I only saw that later.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, so to me, to answer your question, is a very gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also realized within each relationship, it's a gray area. And you are allowed to define for yourself what that means. Yes, technically, we were married. It's infidelity by the book.
Mm.
But I think you're right about whatever you read in the Gottman book. I wasn't even hurt by whatever kiss they had or something.
Mm.
I was more hurt that he didn't tell me because I thought we agreed that we were going to try to be friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here letting you sleep on the couch, like trying to. Not that it was my house fully at the time, but trying to come up with all different possibilities of ways that this could work in a seamless way.
Right.
And I think that's what hurt more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I, you know, sometimes you try to hide the hurt. So I had totally forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically what happened was, is I said I was with a friend. just mm-hmm. just so everybody, so the listeners know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I was with a friend, and I wasn't. I met this person, you know, I was mm-hmm. hanging out with this person.
So you still, even though you were checked out, you were still, quote unquote, sneaking, like feeling like you had trying to like to
right.
maneuver.
Trying mm-hmm. to protect, trying to protect Erica's feelings, as well as trying to avoid that
drama.
Confrontation and that drama.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so, see, relationship 101, it is so murky and messy sometimes.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't, at that point, it wasn't even like a, it wasn't even a thing. You know what I mean? To me, in my mind, at that point in time, it wasn't even a thing to like, for anybody be upset about. You know what I mean? Like, talk about like a grade school peck, like goodbye, like have, you know, see you.
Yeah. Kinda,
it was like that. It was still not the right time for Erica. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, you know, why I keep talking about this, the taking the right steps and everything,
right,
and
right.
respecting her. I did not do, you know.
Well, that's understandable that we weren't thinking about the other person because we really weren't friends.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it
that all was broken.
Comes back to.
Yeah.
Is like the friendship being the root and like that root being severed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how are we gonna even do this? And losing, like when you lose friendship, you kind of lose respect for people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything can go out the window when things like that come into play. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just hard. It's not easy at all. But the coming back together, like mm-hmm. we're here now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Together. And I want to know like how that's been and how was that decision decided? Like, okay, we're going to try this again. Because at one point, you were pretty much like, okay, mm-mm.
Yeah.
And then she was saying the same thing, like, he's like, mm-mm. So I'm like, okay. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it was not one day.
It was
at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just coming back together and trying to make this work and really standing in love with each other and choosing mm-hmm. each other, even after the hurt, the betrayal, the falling apart, on both ends, just feeling mm-hmm. unheard and like disrespected and the friendship is gone. How do you rebuild from that? And how did y'all rebuild from that and decide, you know, we're going to do this and it's going to be okay?
I think it's true what they say about as much time as it took you to fall down is as much time at least that it will take you to get back up. So, you know, I would say it took about 2 years to get to that separation point, at least taking into consideration Carlos's, he was internalizing a lot of things, and I didn't realize how
right.
hurt he was, and so taking that into consideration, 2 years to fall down, and then I would definitely say 2 years to get back up, and feel like we've transitioned to the point where we're taking maybe 5 steps forward now and 1 baby step back as opposed to the opposite before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was excruciating opening the door to let moments of trust happen.
Mm. Yeah. I think for me, you know, coming back in kind of fully healed and everything, the biggest thing for me is balancing, you know, balancing mm-hmm. these two energies that I have, this very, very, then they're two ends of the spectrum, just talking about me internally. I have this like unconditional womanly, you know, force that resides in me through my mother, the love that I know that I have that's unconditional and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I have this masculine energy. So for me, I allowed Erica's actions to kind of throw an imbalance. You know what I mean? I took all that stuff personally as like personal attacks on me.
Mm-hmm.
I was over here going through my own stuff.
Right. And
right.
And then that imbalance just kind of threw everything off. So now I feel like it's balanced. I feel like when I feel disrespected, I say it. You know, I don't internalize it. I don't say, well, I don't want to cause a fight right now. And you know what I mean? I want to keep things PG in the house. So I'm just not going to say anything. And then I'm going to build up animosity towards you in my subconscious. So now it's like, I just deal with stuff like, and I'm, and, you know, Erica can talk about this as well, but I just deal with stuff head on. And I'm just like, hey, because I feel that we're in that safe place that whatever I need to say, you will listen to me, mm-hmm. even if you don't agree, mm-hmm. even if you don't even believe that it's true, mm. right? You'll at least hear me out mm. and understand or try to understand, right? And then also for just internally, knowing that, accepting that, she doesn't always have to understand mm. for us to have an understanding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
our perspectives are unique.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So her understanding is always going to be different from mine, regardless of how much we see eye to eye on something.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that and just being like, all right, I feel heard. I'm good. You know, let's move on and let's go on to the next thing. Because we have so many good things that we have to work on. We have so many good things to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. That it's just like, let's just move on past this little, you know.
I remember keeping things inside too when we were in our bad place. And I called myself keeping it inside to not disrupt or make things right. worse, when actually I was making things worse mm-hmm. by just not saying what was
anything.
On my mind.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned about both of you about speaking up and asking for what you need? We talk about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Asking
mm-hmm.
for what you need, making it clear of how you need it. And even if it's, you know, something small, like, hey, I didn't like your tone of voice with me. That hurt my feelings.
Exactly.
Can we practice not talking to each other that way? And mm-hmm. that's hard in the moment, especially when you think your spouse has an attitude. And you're like, but who are you talking to?
Exactly.
Because that's real life. But Ryan and I have had to work on that too. I can be very snappy sometimes, mm-hmm. especially if I'm just in a mood or if I come home and things aren't how I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
hello.
He has said to me like, hey, why are you talking to me like that?
Yeah.
And it brings you back to yourself.
Right.
And sometimes those checks sting because mm-hmm. you want to get defensive, like, I'm mm-hmm. not talking. And then you're like, okay, yeah. let me just cool it. So what have y'all learned about speaking up, but also showing love and respect in doing so?
I think one of the main mind shifts that I had to go through was fundamentally knowing that this person means well
mm.
for me, like for us and for me and for our unit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's at a basic level, like each action, you can either feel that something was done against you, whether it was or wasn't. Most times it's not, because the person is so either had a bad day at work or
right.
you know, is going through something mm-hmm. that's deeper than just being about you. Like
right.
it's not about you.
Right.
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 Yeah. Now, one of the things that I do is I will announce like, hey, I am not in a good space right now.
Mm.
I am not feeling, and that's not, it's not really an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you still can't just, you know, knee jerk reaction because you had a bad day.
Right.
You're going to give somebody else a bad
mm-hmm.
day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But just announcing, I just let Erica know sometimes when I walk in, I'm just like, hey, I had it today. Like, just be gentle with me.
Mm-hmm,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Be careful with me mm-hmm, right now, because mm-hmm. I'm tender.
Sometimes mm-hmm. it does feel like an apology before you even
I know.
Blow up at me.
I would rather just not have to do that and just not do it at all and just not be snappy. But
I would rather not snap at you, but it
yeah.
happens.
It happens. And
yeah.
I think that, like, marriage isn't a fairy tale. Like, we have mm-mm. to remember that we're two individuals who are deciding to do life together.
Right.
And that means
mm-hmm.
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. It's not always beautiful and, oh, cooperative and, you know, considerate. It's like constantly learning about ourselves through how we treat our partners
mm-hmm.
and how they treat us.
Right.
It's like we literally are each other's mirror. And it's like, okay, how do we honor the reflection that we're seeing and like really be respectful of one another? And it can be hard.
Yeah.
I told people, I'm like, y'all don't want to be married for real unless you want to do this work.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, that's the thing. I'm glad you said that, because what happens is you get this kind of this fairy tale idea mm. that it's all going to work out.
Mm.
It's all going to work out. We got carried this far by something mm. magical, something unseen.
Yep.
You don't realize the work that you're doing.
Right.
I think that's what happens in like the first few years.
And that's what blinded me
mm-hmm.
when I wanted to stay together. I'm like, we can make this work. We can make this work. It's going to work out. And that's what blinded me to whatever hurt I was
right.
projecting on you.
Because we did have this magic. You know what I mean? And that's the reason mm-hmm. why we're back here again, because we have this magic. I mean, and it's not real magic, though. It's work.
It's work.
Mm. It's work. You know, we put in a lot of work for each other and in each other and to see each other grow. Mm. And realizing that, you know what I mean? Realizing like, no. That's like putting an investment. You know what I mean? Like you're in the stock market or something, you put an investment in and then all of a sudden you just walk away and leave that money there.
Right.
Nah.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just, I felt like I'm so invested in you. Why can't I say I'm sorry to you?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I can say it to someone else. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like it, I know it's a lot of hurt for me and Erica, you know, going through that whole thing, but I feel like this other person served a purpose. And that purpose was to know that that wasn't the right person.
Mm.
You know, eventually come into terms with you're not the right person. Like you look like it on paper, right? But you're not. Because that person is the person that gave me the two greatest blessings I have on earth, which are my children, and who wanted to be there for me when I didn't want her to be. You know what I mean? And I shut the door. And now here I am at the door. You know what I mean? Trying to find a way back in. So,
and it's funny because this other person for me left a totally different perspective for me, because I'm here with you because I'm choosing to be here with you,
right?
Because I could be with someone else.
Of course. And that's something else that's on my mind too. It's like during that time when we were separated, like I had no idea what she was doing. So I think very highly of Erica. So I'm thinking like, man, everybody's just in her DMs. Like they know that she broke up. They're sliding in the DMs. Like, you know what I mean? I had no idea.
Erica was with me most of the time.
It was
just like trying to figure shit out, talking things through.
He knows that now.
It was it was terrifying back then though. I had no idea. I had no clue. I was like, damn.
And that's not a good feeling to have, to not know what your love is doing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
Okay, so as we come to a close, I want to ask two questions. The first question is, what has separation and reconnection taught you about community and family?
Can I start?
Yeah.
Okay. The biggest thing for me about community and family is, you know, you can't let those outside influences lead you to believe something. So a lot of my friends would always say to me is like, oh, you and Erica are like the grail. You guys are so great. And then like, they don't know in the background, all this stuff is going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a lot of hurt, you know what I mean? And they're just, and then you just believe that though. You just believe that, oh no, everybody believes that we're magical and we're fairy tale. So we don't need to work on stuff. We don't need to talk about issues. So in a lot of ways, you got to watch your community. You got to watch your tribe, because they will enable you to do harm to yourself. And they don't even mean it intentionally. They just mean it like, they mean it, they want the best for you. So, you know, the critical friends, those are the ones that you need to keep around, because they're the ones that are going to keep you on the toes. The ones that give it to you straight. And I mean, I hate to say it, they kind of make you feel bad sometimes and make you not want to call them anymore for like a good week or two until like you're ready to come back around. Those are the friends that you need to keep around. Mm-hmm. Like having a balance of those people that are rooting for you and just like always sending you positivity and always, you know, think that you're doing the best.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to have the other folks that are just like, nah, you're not really doing it. Like, you're not, you know, you need to do better. And having people that are like seasoned, you know, in that, I think is very important. Having those seasoned people that you can go to talk to get actual advice, because people that haven't been in marriage, guess what? They're not going to be able to give you marriage advice.
Right.
So, and that happens a lot. Like we're watching Insecure and that happens. Like, I love that show. So, and we're looking at Issa, and Issa's getting all this, you know, relationship advice from her friends, but the friends aren't in the relationship. So like realizing where the boundaries are is difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say also realizing that you do have a support system around you, whether it's family. A lot of people think that relationship topics are kind of taboo and you don't talk about them. I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve sometimes, so it's hard for me to not share or talk about things with everybody. But I did I did also learn that I had to be careful and do that carefully and definitely have a filter for what I need and what I didn't from some people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we think we're going through these things alone, and we're definitely not. Like I said, I realized what my mom, some of the feelings surrounding her separation and divorce from my dad. So it was helpful to share the things that I was feeling with my friends and family sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What has this entire experience taught you about self-care? Because you mentioned doing a lot of introspection and a lot of self-work. And Erica, we've talked about that too. So what has how has self-care played a role in your healing process and your coming back together?
I think I definitely see myself as a whole person that needs to stand alone in this relationship in a way. It feels good to lean on this other person sometimes and ask for help on X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, I'm responsible for my own mood, my own feelings. And even if I feel like it's coming from outside of me, I'm still ultimately in charge of taking care of myself and giving myself the time that I need for things and saying no to things and taking care of myself. And that's hard on another level being a parent. Like,
right.
We don't get too much actual time, so we got to do these like things in the car on the drive on the way here, or
right.
Just mindset changes. I know Carlos listens to a lot of music too, which might be a form of self-care, but I'm going to let you say that.
Oh.
Or something else.
For me, self-care is you know, this could be as simple as taking a shower, you know what I mean? And just taking a bath or whatever it is that I need, and knowing that and being present with myself and knowing which direction I'm going, but always know that I know where home base is.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know that the path that's going to get me there, that's going to take me there and bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So anytime that, you know, I need energy, like outside energy, I need to maybe go over a friend's house to write, or like I haven't been writing recently or something, and I know I need that, I'll ask for that. I'll say, hey, does this work for you? Can I do this? Can I go to, you know, can I go there? And Erica's always been very supportive, you know what I'm saying? And when she can't do, you know, when it's not feasible, she'll let me know, and you know, I'm good with it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, I know that I can put it on pause. I can't hit stop though. You know, in the self-care.
Right.
I can hit pause for a little bit for you because I care about you, and I don't want to just always like be me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hit pause, but I can't hit stop.
Mm-hmm.
So just knowing that it's an option for me to be able to do my self-care, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's helped us too, us having our own projects that we're working on, even though we want to help each other with those projects sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a form of self-care too, is having interests that are your own.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you establish your sense of identity when you have those projects that you're working on, those things that you like to do, like read
outside
a book.
Outside of your partner, your kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your
totally
friends.
Separate.
Yeah.
Totally separate. Like your own thing.
Yeah.
It's so important to have that.
Yeah.
And that outlet.
Okay. So last question is, what do you love about each other?
You want to go first?
You go first.
Oh, man. I love Erica's. There's so many things I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to
That's
fit
what
into
I'm trying,
one sentence.
I need time to narrow it down, too.
Yeah. So for me, it's and I'm just going to kind of ramble,
That's
and then
fine.
I'll probably come back.
Okay.
Just to kind of like. So, you know, like, I guess like her view on the world, like the way that she looks at the world, her perspective. I feel like the earlier version of me didn't put too much stock in that. And it's so funny because now it's like the total opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say what I love about Erica is her perspective and the warmth that she brings wherever she goes.
Mm. I love the way that...
Don't make me cry. I'm a crier, y'all.
He's a passionate man. But I was going to say the way that you make me laugh and realize the simple everyday things in life are huge.
Here it comes.
She actually did make me cry. We didn't even talk about that. Oh, I feel so salty.
Oh my God.
Yes, the name change.
Yes.
So yes, we didn't even talk about that.
Okay, we have like, we can do like 3 minutes. Okay. Sum that up. I remember her planning that and I was like, oh my God, that's so cute.
Yeah.
So when we got married, I just signed our marriage license, Erica Doxy, which is my maiden name. And you know, never, I didn't go through the steps that I was supposed to go through, or we didn't even really talk about it. Like,
oh, I have a different story.
Okay. Tell your story.
Your boy was butthurt. You did not take my name.
It just wasn't.
I was
in
so
my
salty.
Mind.
I was so salty, like straight up. I was so salty. I felt like, wow, you're not going to take my last name.
But you didn't act like that.
Oh, I did it first.
Okay.
The thing was, you're talking about bottling up things and like just internalizing. I internalized that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know? I think I just brushed it under the rug every time. Like I do remember throughout
it wasn't
the
that
years.
And that's okay. It wasn't important to you.
It wasn't.
You know what I'm saying? And it probably, and I'm going to be honest with you, it probably still isn't important to her.
But 10 years later, what happened?
Yeah, so as we're going to Mexico, and of course, in Erica fashion, down to the wire, right. She's like, I didn't think about this when I bought my plane ticket, but.
Well, so, I had already been making moves.
I know,
okay,
I know.
Go ahead.
But I'm in the bathroom getting ready for work or something, and she just walks up and she hands me a card. She's like, I have something for you. And I'm like, wow. You know, I kind of like thought that this trip was like a gift to each other. So I didn't feel like I had to get you something. I feel like caught off guard. Mm. And she's like, no, it's not like that at all. Just this is a little card I wanted to get you. And I opened the card and there's a social security card in there. And it has Erica Lane Salazar. And boy, I'm telling you, it was like
talk about reset button.
Yeah. I was just, again, I was crying because it was just so, it meant so much to me. And I don't think that and it come full circle, you know what I mean? And talking about coming and healing and everything, to me, that was like pulling out the stitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the wound is healed. You guys have sewn it. Like you did the work to sew it up. You carefully sewed it up. There's going to be a scar there. There will always be a reminder.
Mm.
You know, and there will always be a reminder of the hurt and the pain, but, you know, we're healed.
Mm.
We're alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
It's those little things. I mean, it's a lot for me to do some paperwork.
Yeah.
And to stand at the DMV and all that.
Look,
she
I know
was
that
around
line.
The corner. She was like, girl, you want to have lunch after this?
Yes.
And I think she was there for like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's no joke. I know.
No
joke. And for her to be able to like sit still for 2 hours, not editing photos or doing, you know, on the phone or a conference or something. Yeah. So that's, I was thoroughly impressed. I was very, very impressed. And I was very moved. Very, very moved.
And I also think that I did realize through our separation what our different love languages are, and that does help to see these little moves that are coming from the other person. They're speaking in their language if they don't know how to speak in your language.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we see a whole lot more the smaller meaningful ways to say I love you that aren't directly saying I love you. And so that's what it meant a lot to me, that meant a lot to you, and I could do something about it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Even though to her it wasn't important. You know what I'm saying? But having that realization, like, this is really important to him.
Yeah.
And then moving that ball forward it meant so much to me.
Mm. Well, guys. I love this. Thank you so much.
Thank
I think that's a good way to end.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Oh,
I appreciate
no problem.
Y'all, and this is going to move a lot of people, because love is messy. It's not in this pretty box all the time. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you too.
Bye.
Bye.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.